Hey guys, welcome to episode 5 of Gen Talks. This is going to be a letter to the next generation continued because we just didn't get enough of it the last time and didn't finish up everything
so
we wanted
to
say.
To talk about.
I'm Caitlin.
I'm Katie.
All right, so let's get started.
Okay, just to back up if you didn't hear the last one, but I hope that you will. The preface was, it was from a talk that I gave college prep for a girls' retreat. And so I just began it with, you're about to leave the nest, hit the road, spread your wings and fly. You have a suitcase on your bed since the day you were born. Every day since, it has gotten closer and closer to closing. Along the way, for the past 16, 17, 18 years, because I was writing to high schoolers, your parents, teachers, friends, mentors, coaches, authors, musicians, movie makers, and a host of acquaintances and even strangers have been putting things in your suitcase. I and Caitlin, that's terrible English, we have the blessing of stuffing some last-minute things into your suitcase as well. Some of what we are going to sneak in there you probably already have, but they are things that it is okay to have more than one of. Mm-hmm. So that is kind of the background, and we will pick up where we left off in the letter. So it is, assume everyone is acting out of love or a call for love. This helps us to forfeit our right to be offended and capitalize on our opportunities to extend grace.
I love this. I feel like I have been like, this has been my mantra lately ever since. Who said it originally? It was, I heard today.
You heard it on a podcast.
I heard it on
Soul
Chat.
But I think they were also,
they quoted her.
Doyle
yeah,
Melton.
And I heard a different lady today. I listened to Soul Chat today, a different podcast than I've ever listened to. But they said it again, because that's like their mantra. But it has reminded me not to get so offended. I had something happen this past week, and I'd asked someone for a favor, and just got kind of a snippy response, and it hurt my feelings so badly, and I just let it get to me, and totally, like, just, I cried about it. I thought, oh, I've been annoying at this, but it wasn't me. It was that person who had a bad day and responded in a way they shouldn't have responded, but it wasn't my fault, you know, and it was, so that was a call for love. That was a call.
Right.
For that person feeling very overwhelmed and needing some kind of release. But instead of getting that,
it reminds me of that quote where it says that to just remember that everybody is facing a struggle that we probably know nothing
yeah.
about.
Mm-hmm.
And it does help tremendously to have that filter on as opposed to taking it personally and thinking that it's all about me.
Yeah. And that's so hard because you want to play that victim card. But that's
well, you don't consciously want
you know,
to.
And yeah, and
I'll go back and look at times, and I can see the self pity or the victim
yeah,
role that
it's
I
like,
took,
oh,
and I was like, yuck, yuck.
Yeah. Well, and what did they said today? That's where the ego steps in, and so this is not from me. And the podcast I was listening to quoted another guy, but it was ego stands for edging God out. So it's all about you,
true.
And I'm getting offended, and he hurt my feelings, and he said that to me, and I would never do that to anyone else. And then it's just, once I started talking about it, and I told my fiance about it, told my roommate, my mom, I was like, this is all about me. I mean, and the person said something very rude and shouldn't have said it, but I can't walk around feeling like a victim all day because it wasn't love, but it was a call for love.
Right.
So.
That's good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, complacency and complicity are two sides of the same coin.
Oh, we did do that one.
We did do that one?
Maybe we did do the
oh,
one we just talked
hold
about,
on.
Too.
We did. Yeah, we did. Okay.
But you know what's good is that acting out of love or a call for love, as soon as we talked about it last week, apparently, that happened to me, and I had to remember that. So you just get a double dose of love.
I know, you sure did.
That's fine.
And okay, I'm trying to see where we were then. Let's see. Wake up every day and decide, number one, I'm going to do what is just, not what I can justify.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Not how low can I go legally, but how can I help?
That's good.
That was from one of the podcasts that I had listened to that was about the preamble
mm-hmm.
and the Constitution, and it took you back to the difference in our nation when it was
yeah.
written from the nation that we have become now.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some basic assumptions made when the Constitution was written, and it was one of the assumptions was that we were accountable to one another, mm-hmm. and the other was that they were accountable to a divine power, something higher right. than them. And our nation does not necessarily, do that, right. is not, that's not the consensus anymore. Yeah. And so that assumption, and so really the premise of this podcast that I listened to when he talked about, it's like your rights and protecting your rights only works in a society that is moral, that is yeah. accountable for other people.
Whose podcast was this?
This is the one, Andy Stanley's.
I listened to this too because he said, what if our world cared more about the other person?
Right.
That I will let them go in front of me at the...
For one day. Yeah. Everyone did it for one day. I'll let you get the parking spot. It would change everything.
It would, because we're all focused on ourselves and not... Okay, what did you say that assumed they would be a...
They assumed a moral responsibility or an accountability to other people. Yeah. So they kind of had their neighbors back. Mm-hmm. And then they also assumed a divine accountability, yeah. that there was a higher power.
And
there it was the consensus in the nation at the time, mm-hmm. because it was small and it was just starting.
Right.
And that's when he said, is if you have a Bill of Rights, but if you have rights with no responsibility, then it will always lead to anarchy. And I was like, yeah. that is...
And we think now that our rights are... That's just it. Our rights. All it's about my me. Right to yeah. say that. It's my right to free speech. But they would think, how's that going to affect the other person?
Right. Okay. This kind of, the next one says, do what is responsible, not what is simply permitted. And the great rule of thumb is if we are not willing to take responsibility for the potential outcome of an action, then we should not do it.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't say for the outcome. It says potential outcome.
Right.
That means that we look at a scenario and we go through the possible outcomes. Mm-hmm. Like, this could happen, that could happen. And if we, all of them, aren't willing to take responsibility, then we should not do the thing.
And it's just, you shouldn't push the limit. I mean, that goes with anything. I hear that a lot with talks about sexual immorality.
Yeah.
You shouldn't go as far as you can possibly go without the actual act. You know, that's not... That's not the call. That's not what
that's
we're called to do.
That's not a good guardrail.
No, and
for
that,
anybody.
That's anybody and anything. You're not. Yeah, you're not going to drive against a guardrail on a road.
Guardrails are set back for a reason. Mm-hmm. They're to slow you down, and if you go through the guardrail, you're not going to go over the cliff because they're usually not right on the edge.
Right.
So that's why we're supposed to set our guardrails back a little bit yep. further.
Yeah.
I can remember hearing someone also say that. An example he had in his marriage was that he would never, they would not ride alone in a car with someone of the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. It was just a guardrail they had. And so one time he was on a speaking engagement and his chauffeur or the person mm-hmm. that picked him up was a woman. So the minute he got where he was going, it was before cell phones, he called his wife and goes, okay, yeah. she was, and she's like, okay, it's fine. But he said, imagine if I don't, you know, you feel like you've crossed a major line.
Right.
But it opens up communication with a relationship yep. way before you've crossed one that'd be really hard
right,
to take back.
Right, that's good. That's
so
a good
that was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do what is moral, not what is modeled.
Mm-hmm.
That was good because we have a lot of things modeled for us. And then we have a lot of different definitions of moral.
Yeah, people make up their own definition of their morals.
Absolutely.
And do kind of go off of what has been modeled from parents or... celebrities or friends or whatever.
But using as like that litmus test of how does it affect,
mm-hmm.
you know, the ripple effect of everybody else in our world.
Yeah.
And what would really, how would it change their mm-hmm. world, not just mine.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, the last one on that one was honor God and what does that look like? Honor Him with your body, honor Him with your mind, and honor Him with your words. Are our words kind, gentle, truthful, and necessary? I thought that was really
yeah,
good.
Yeah, if you really go by that, honoring Him in everything, and that's like a common prayer, like everything we think, say, and do. You know, I pray that a lot, like, please let me glorify You with everything I think, say, and do today. But if you really strive to do that, it changes your day.
And the thanking one, I've talked yeah. about this a lot with my kids. I was like, a bad thought is not sin. It's dancing with it in your head.
Yeah.
It is. Because every action starts there.
Yep.
So when we camp on it and we think that, okay, it's okay just to entertain it in my mind,
mm-hmm.
that's where it's birthed.
Yeah.
And
it branches out from
true.
There.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just remembering, especially when I was talking to teenage girls, like with your body, the parts that you put on display.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be so common because everybody wears a bikini. And
yep.
I'm not suggesting that you can't wear one. But with social media, and they're everywhere on social media, you don't know who's looking at that
yep.
stuff. And And just to remember, like, that the Holy Spirit lives within you. Mm-hmm. And is this what you would want to do with the temple of the Holy Spirit? It's just a really, it doesn't mean that we always make the best choices, but it helps to make the wise choice.
If we think on that, it definitely changes everything.
Okay, I think that might have been the end of the letter.
The letter to the next generation?
Yes, that was the end of my letter.
Well, we can even move into, that's a nice segue to talking about dwelling on things, because what we dwell on, if we're dwelling on those good things in our minds all day long, then it's going to cultivate.
Well, you've heard what you behold, you mm-hmm. become.
Yeah.
And the, like, our eyes are the window to the soul. Mm-hmm. And so the things that we do dwell on and we camp on. Yeah. So dwell was Caitlin's word.
Yeah, that was my word. That was like my word of the day.
Yes. And then we were going to discuss that. And so it was a good segue into what are the things that we dwell on.
Yeah. And I think that applies really well to this letter to the next generation, because it's like, if I could write a letter to myself, because you even said, well, do you remember a time when you weren't, like, dwelling on your thought, like, certain things or your choices or whatever? And I think to tell younger people, like, the things you dwell on need to be positive and holy and good, and not totally, like, make yourself sick dwelling about either silly things or bad things. Because I think, you know, not only just dwelling on, like, bad things that can lead to sin, but I dwell on really silly things that don't matter, but that leads to me sinning, because it leads to me worrying and stressing and being mean, being in a bad mood.
Or because, when we're offended.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I dwell on offenses.
And then I have all those make-believe conversations that I never, you know, actually have. But because I've camped on it, I have. Philippians 4:8, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things.
Yeah.
And that is a really great, like, today I was running and my phone died. Mm-hmm. So I'm used to stuff in my ears the whole time. And years ago, I made a decision that I was going to intentionally change everything I listened to, because I'm so affected. So I changed what I watch, and I didn't do it out of legalism. I just did it because I know me. Mm-hmm. I changed what I watch. I had to take Rated R completely off my radar, because I'm extremely, every violent scene I've seen in a movie, I can still picture every one of them. So I changed everything. The music I listened to, I was like, I've got to start putting lovely in my head, and a lot of it. But today, it died. And so what I ended up doing, I was like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to think about? What's lovely and pure? Mm-hmm. So I started going through, like, the verses that I actually have written on my heart.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Seek first the kingdom of God. And I'm saying it out loud while I'm running. But it got me all the way back to my car, and it was really a sweet detour. It was not somebody else's voice, because I'm so used to listening to somebody else's voice in my ear. And I do feel like God was saying, let me talk sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, don't just have like, to just listen, be my words and not somebody else feeding you, which we're feeding you as words right now.
But I am so bad about not wanting silence. I mean, when I get ready in the mornings, I have either music or a podcast going. And I'm the same way. I try to listen to worship music and a podcast that's going to kind of fill me up. And they're not all Christian based podcasts, but it's something that I know is going to fill me up.
Right. It's not something that I'm well aware of the stuff that will take me down a negative spin.
And there's a difference in like some of them that we both listen to, they use profanity and they start talking about things that I might not agree with, but the meat of it and what I'm really holding on to is something I can tie back to.
It's never a topic that's bashing of anybody or anything.
It's always very
life-giving. Yeah. Yes.
And that's the point, because no one's perfect and no one's going to talk about, you know, be holier than thou in every single thing they say. And so I went away from, you know, I think I said to you one time, I was like, oh yeah, that one we listen to that she cusses. But you kind of told me, well, that's when we walk with her in that struggle. You know what I mean?
Right. And I am on my blog, I have a favorite things page. Mm-hmm. And I put a disclaimer at the front of it that you know, these are some of my favorite things. It does not necessarily mean that I agree with every view that they have or every post that they have. Mm-hmm. But I love the way they write, or I love the way they paint, or, you know, there's certain things. It's kind of like with the whole political election. Yeah. Is for you to even say you voted one way or the other, it would be wrong for us to assume that you agree with everything mm-hmm. that they stand for. Because that's not going to be the case for anybody.
Right.
That every you agree on everything.
Yeah.
So I did put that disclaimer because there's several people that are on there that I know we have lots of differences, but there's lots of things that are the, and I was like, I'm not taking them off.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I hope that people will not discredit all of it and will sift out the gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hope that people do that with me.
Yeah. I mean, that's,
you know,
and we have to do that with
the doubt. Yeah.
Other people. You know, it's like you can't just take it all or leave it. You know, you have to kind of sift through, like you just said, and find the gold. But yeah, I think that's cool though, that you had to like dwell on your own thoughts, but that you invited God into those thoughts. Because that's hard to do. Silence is hard for me, for sure. I'm like always talking or always hearing somebody else's voice.
When I started painting, it, that is when my mind really, where I was okay with silence. And now I don't even listen to anything.
When you paint.
When I paint, and hours will go by.
Yeah.
And my mind will be completely, like, at rest.
Yeah.
While my hand goes to town.
See, and that's where I'm, like, struggling right now, is that in those moments, that's when I dwell on those things. On those things I've said to someone else, or someone has said to me, or things that I cannot fix. I was telling Katie when I got here today, about my wedding dress, and I've been dealing with this huge dilemma of wanting a different dress. Several other people I've seen post pictures of their weddings have the same dress as me, and so I've been in a constant state of dwelling on what I'm going to do. And my mom and I took our annual girls trip this past weekend, and I felt so bad because I felt like I talked about it the whole time and ruined our trip because I was dwelling on my problem about the dress. Well, then I started dwelling on, did I ruin our trip? And it was just like a snowball effect. Because if you are dwelling on something,
and I don't think you're not the only one.
Right.
That, because I've had those seasons, and it still can come where I feel completely paranoid.
Yeah.
And I'll run it all past my husband, and he's like looking at me like, I don't think he thinks like that really ever.
Uh-uh.
Or if he does, it's on different subject matters. Mine usually is around my conversations. Like,
yep, people.
What have I said that they could have taken wrong?
Yeah.
Oh, their facial expression didn't look like they really received that. Or
I was
how
annoying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I think paranoia is paralyzing. Like, that's, when you just said that, it is paralyzing.
It makes me want to isolate.
Yeah.
Like, in the good kind of.
No.
Be by myself.
But, like, I think I told my fiance that when, just last night, I said, I just want to go away. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I just want to be alone, but not in the good way, exactly.
Right.
Not like, I want to sit and have quiet time. I want to be by myself, because
which can be the danger zone.
Yeah.
Because then it's just us and our own internal conversations.
Yeah. And I just feel like, you know, that those thoughts creep in when I do dwell of, well, if I'm just away from everyone, then I won't have to have any conversations or have to deal with anything, and I can just cut myself off, you know? And that's not healthy either.
No, because we're better together. We're not called to be.
And it's like when I am dwelling on those things, that battle comes into my mind, the battle of the mind. It's like, no, I have to, it's like I'm telling myself, no, you need people around you if you're going to deal with something like that, you know? But I think that whenever I do, you know, feed my mind with godly things and godly people and things like that, it totally negates all of the terrible thoughts I had. And that's, I mean, that is true every time. If you're reading and thinking and listening to something that's giving you life in those moments when you're dwelling on something bad, it really flushes that out.
Okay, we'll throw that question at y'all to ponder, is what do you do to quiet your mind?
Yeah, that's good.
I look back growing up, and I can tell you I definitely did not practice any of the things that I do now.
Mm-hmm.
But growing up, I would always run straight to the phone.
Yeah.
It was always to run it by a person.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a verse, Jeremiah 33:3, that is, call me and I will tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. And I heard a teenager give a talk, and they paraphrased it to mean, go to the throne and not the phone.
That's good.
I loved it. And so now I think of that.
Yeah.
Like, before I try and get any feedback from someone else or someone else's opinion, I'm going to give God an opportunity to tell me his thoughts.
That's good.
On this, you know, what I could have done. And I always go back to the serenity prayer. You know, it's to show me the things that I can change, mm-hmm. show me the things that I can, and mm-hmm. then give me the courage to change the ones I can, yep. and the wisdom to know the difference. I mm-hmm. kind of butchered it, but you got the
yeah.
point. Because I'm like, okay, there's some things I can do absolutely nothing
about.
If there's an offense that I have against someone, then I need to go make it right immediately. Mm-hmm. And if I, you know, I need to be okay with the things that I can't change and just try not to ever do it again.
Yeah. And have peace
for that.
Yeah, there's grace. And I think that's really, truly, like, resting in grace every day changes everything. Because if I did say something stupid to someone, all I can do is ask for grace from God and from them. And if they don't give me that grace, then that is not my problem anymore. You know, and you have to just leave. I have to do that. I have to say to myself, you literally cannot go back and change it. There's literally nothing. There's no time machine. So make a mistake, but learn from it and don't do it again.
And make amends, but then know that it's possible that they may not forgive you.
Right.
And to give them time, mm-hmm. like not to get fussy in that in-between where, okay, well, fine, you didn't forgive me.
Yeah, you didn't.
Because then that's a whole other thing that we've added on to it.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, we had another quote that went along kind of with legacy that we mm-hmm. liked. And it was, be the person you wish you had had when you were younger.
Yeah.
So think about that. What does that mean to you? Even if you had them, it doesn't mean that you didn't have that person.
Yeah.
But it made me start to think about, okay, if I want to be the person to my daughter and to my sons that I wished I'd had or that I did have when I was younger, what would that person be like? And I always think of patience
mm-hmm.
and availability.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, just be there, the gift of presence. Don't try and fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
But listen to everything.
Yeah.
What about you?
I would say patience and that's a tough question. Like who do you wish you would have had when you were younger? Because I mean, I was fortunate enough to grow up with two really great parents, but there are still things that I wish.
And I sift out that, like, I think of the things that I loved so much about both of them. And then Aunt Lita, who, I don't remember Aunt Lita ever giving me a lecture, but yet she taught me
so
more
much,
about what Jesus would do than anyone I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that when I was younger, I would have liked to have someone out, maybe even outside of my family, that was just more of like a spiritual guide. I think
I didn't have a mentor growing up
either. Yeah, me neither.
That spoke words of life into me. And
yeah.
I feel like my kids coming up, mm-hmm. they do tend to have more of
that
available. They don't always capitalize on it, but.
But they do. Yeah, uh-huh. it's definitely more available. And I think that just the way the church I grew up in was not like the church I go to now. And it was just very rules. And I mean, it was a good church, but I didn't have anyone kind of encouraging me, like, to be great. You know, like, you go out and do whatever God is calling you to do. I didn't really ever grasp, like, a calling on my life or a path anything of that nature. It was always just do good, be good, love God, love people.
And I really kind of think, and I don't fault anyone for this because this would be my interpretation, but I feel like maybe my spiritual heritage
mm-hmm.
in the church was, it kind of ended at salvation. Like, I don't feel like there was much after that.
Right.
And I didn't dive headlong into the word, so it wasn't like I was really pursuing that relationship.
Yeah,
I don't remember
the
word relationship ever being used.
No, I don't either. I never heard a relationship with God, you know. I mean, if I did, it was very much like it wasn't what it should have meant. It was just like, you know him.
Right.
But not the know, you know, and Pastor Chris explains the difference in knowing someone, and there's another word for know that was a Greek word, but it means to, like, know everything about them, love them, like, worship them, that kind of known, not just, I know your name.
Right, I know your name and, like, your Facebook status.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
And that's how I felt like, that's a good way of putting, that's how I knew Jesus, knew his name and his Facebook status, and that was it. I didn't know the ins and outs and how he loved me. And
that salvation, like, that was the beginning.
I thought that was that not
in the end, like that, that was the ultimate goal, which it is, because we'll spend eternity. But if we don't die at salvation, there's more, because he's like, okay, you're still here because you have a purpose and a plan on your life,
and it's supposed giftings. To be a new person. Yeah, and that to me, I don't know that at that moment, you know, when I was 15 years old, that it was like a okay, I did it, I did. That's salvation.
The thing.
But it wasn't, I did the thing. But it wasn't, okay, old me is gone and this is a brand new life. It's an end and a beginning.
New behaviors, right. Yeah. I didn't, it was just a long list of, well, now I know I'm not supposed to do all this stuff.
And oops, and I did it. Again. Do I need to get saved again?
It was a continual process of every Sunday. Yeah. I would cry, begging for forgiveness.
That's a good, next podcast. Oops, I did it again.
Oops, I did it again. And I spent years like that, you know, and I realize now it was never meant to be this continual salvation plea.
Yeah.
Like, I really was saved when I was saved, and when we can walk in freedom, he means you can really walk in freedom. Yeah. And, like, it's an adventure, and you're going to fall flat on your face a lot, but I'm always here. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to give you people to do it together with.
Yep. It's like, oh.
It was awesome. And really, the whole point, like, there was a movie that was, like, the greatest gift, and it was about a wealthy family, and they left an inheritance. And by the end, you see the transformation in the kids, because there were stipulations to the inheritance that made them grow up. Mm-hmm. And they had to... But all the way up until we die, like that last minute, that's, you know, people can be saved up to that last breath.
Yeah.
But if we're saved earlier than that, he's like, okay, you still have the rest of the life here. Or I gave you more time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've entrusted you with the good news.
Make the most of it.
Yes, and that he will give you opportunities to be his hands and feet.
Yeah.
I was looking for questions for our lightning round.
Oh, yeah. I guess it's about that time.
Yes, okay.
For the lightning round.
This was a good
one. I wish we got some music, like...
Okay, if you could have been an eyewitness to anything from when you were young, what would it have been and why?
Gosh.
Do you have one? There, I'm thinking, because this is a really good question.
When I was young, oh man, I'm trying to think of like what cool things happened when I was young. Because the biggest one we talked about, but it was a bad story. It was
that I happen to remember mostly tragedies.
Twin Towers, 9/11. Yeah,
and I would not have wanted. I didn't want to eyewitness that.
Oh gosh. Well, this is not really answering that question at all. But you know what? Actually, we'll go with this. And this is not really what you're asking. But I would have wanted to witness the last episode of the Oprah Show. That she was
thinking that I might have, but I don't remember.
Well, I wish I would have been there.
Oh, like,
yeah,
okay.
Because I watched it. Uh-huh. I wrote down her final quote in my diary. Like, I was obsessed with Oprah, and me and my mom watched it together every day after school. She said the very last thing she ever said live on her show was "To God be the glory." That's the last thing she ever said. Yep. But I would have. Me and my mom.
Totally an answer to the question.
Yeah, I guess it is. Me and my mom planned for years to go to an Oprah show, and we were going to try to go my senior year of high school. And I guess about the time that we were serious about going, she went off the air, so we'll never get to go. If she has some big reunion, we'll be there. But
well, she still has the Oprah Network.
She does. I watch it.
Those conversations that are really awesome.
Yep, they are. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to have to pause on that. I'm still trying to think of what I would like to have been an eyewitness to. I feel like there's just something shark related.
Shark related?
Yeah, but I don't know what I really, it's on my bucket list. I will see a massive great white shark, and I will be in a boat when I see it. I'm thinking it's going to have to be in Australia, although I'm sure there are other places too.
Okay.
But what eyewitness, and I'm thinking in the 70s. And the 80s. Okay. I would have liked to have been in the studio audience, if there was one, when MTV aired for the very first time.
Very cool. That would have been very
Martha
cool.
Martha Quinn was one of the first ones on there, and it was just the neatest thing.
Oh, yeah. Videos. Good old MTV.
All the videos used to tell the stories of the song. Now they don't so much. No. Country still does.
Yeah.
But, I would have liked to have been there.
That would have been cool.
First
MTV. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we're going to call that the cultural one, maybe?
Yeah, I like that.
Okay. So now we have a relational one and
a spiritual one.
Okay.
Cultural, relational, spiritual. If you guys didn't know that, that's how we do our lightning round. Those are the three categories.
Okay. We're going to make this relational.
All right.
If you could be any age for a week, what age would you want to be?
Oh, gosh. I don't know, because...
And then you can, like, connect it to, like, a person from
your life. Yeah, that's good. Gosh. I would love to go back to being maybe around, like, 12 or 13 years old. And my littlest brother would have been a baby. He would have been 3 when I was 13. And then my other brother would have been, like, 10 or 11. I just always feel like I didn't capitalize on that time. I mean, obviously, I was a child, too. But I would love to go back to Keaton being really little because, ugh, it was just so much fun. And to, like, be nicer to my middle brother. Because when you're kids and you, like, fight. But now we're best friends and I, like, wish we would have... We were very close, but I wish I would have been nicer.
How old were you? So how old do you want to go back? Or
I would be 13.
You'd be 13 again?
Oh, but... Gosh, I hated being...
Just for a week. It's just for a week. So for 1 week.
Okay. I would pick 13. And I would just be a better sister. But I would not want... It would need to be in the summer when I didn't have to go to school because I hated school that year. That was middle school nightmare.
Yeah, middle school's not a great time for anyone.
So we'll go 13 years old, like, summer.
Okay, I'll probably go back to 15 because that was before... I started, that's before I made all the big mistakes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true too.
I'm going to go back to 15 for a week because if I go back to 15 for a week and I remember what I know now, then I can write myself out a declaration.
Yes.
And I can really like know about Jesus in a relationship with him and hopefully not make the same mistakes. So 15 for a week would be my time frame. Okay, now we have a spiritual one. Mm-hmm. And let's see. You tell me if you can think of one. I'm looking on this list right now.
Okay. What about the spiritual quality you admire most in other people?
Probably peace.
Peace. Mm-hmm. That's good.
There's just certain people, and it has nothing to do if they're extroverts or introverts or... talkative or quiet, there's just a peace that is always there.
Yeah. I'm not going to steal yours, but that is at the top for me. I do really admire that. I think you have that, though.
Thank you. Yes. I hope so.
You do.
I don't always... I mean, I feel like it's always there because he's always there.
Yeah.
But there's times I can tell when I'm a whirling dervish.
Yeah.
that I'm like, okay, I need to settle down.
Yep. Because I need to have that peace again.
Because it's trying to go away.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. You said joy is a good one. I like gentleness. I feel like I'm not gentle. And so I like really admire people who are just... Because you can be... I'm just very like loud and talkative. But you can be that and be gentle. And it's hard to find that balance. Because most people I know who are gentle are very calm and quiet. But I really admire gentleness in people who... are like talkative and loud. That's a big goal of mine to be.
Because I think Jesus was gentle, but I think Jesus was talkative, and I think that he was all over the place.
Yeah, he clearly wasn't being quiet.
No, he was not always like.
Yeah,
I think because kids were attracted to him.
Yeah,
so he had to have been fun.
Yeah,
I agree with you on that.
Yeah,
I often think like when I get discouraged with somebody in my life, and I'm like, why can't they just get it? Like,
yeah,
because our actions are, you know, they affect everybody in our lives. So when their actions affect your life, and you're seeing them tailspin, you're like, why can't they just get it? And I feel like he taps me on the shoulder just sweetly, and it's like, remember how gentle and patient I was with you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yes, my turn was when it was, but there was lots of years it could have been sooner.
Yeah.
So how many people could have been thinking, for the love of Pete, why can't she just get
right,
it?
Right, yeah.
So I try to remember that
his timing with people.
He was so gentle and patient with me and kind. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like to pay that forward.
Yes.
So. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
that is the end for today.
All right, that was episode 5, and it was... It was a letter to the next generation continued, and then we talked about
dwell.
Dwelling, and we talked about
being the person.
Being the person, yeah, that you wish
that we had had or we did have.
And I think that all of those things tie into a big letter to the next generation. And if you didn't listen to our episode 4, it was the first part of this. So definitely go back and listen to that. Listen to this and think about a letter you would write to the next generation, yes, and how we need to live that out, no matter how old we are. There's another generation coming up. So,
and then we threw the question out just to think about how you quiet your mind.
Yeah.
And please, if you don't,
tell us,
you know,
how you quiet your mind.
Think about maybe wanting to. Because mm-hmm. I can remember going through years of not even realizing I was on overdrive.
Yeah.
Until I kind of crashed. Mm-hmm. And so it's just a good thing to start pondering now. Yes. Can I say ponder one ponder. More time?
Yeah. No, I like
goodness.
It. A good thing to dwell on.
Yes, dwell on that.
Yes. Okay. All right.
Well, we will see you soon. Oh, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We are thankful for the podcast.
Yeah.
We hope it adds value to your world. And share it if you like it.
Yeah, and we're thankful for you for listening.
And we love feedback.
Please, yes. Write a review, comment, whatever. We want to know what you think.
And also, if there's anything in particular you would like us to gab about.
Yeah. We love ideas.
Yes, we do. So, peace out.
Bye.
Bye.